Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to HR Latte, your welcome.
It's loud and proud in public house as we get ready for the Poetry Slam to benefit No Kid Hungry. Hang on. We're going to start this slam in just a minute. Really appreciate everybody tuning in. I'm going to try and play this intro music one more time. It's been a little loud here tonight. Thank you for joining us.
Latte, your first cup of talent management, whipped to perfection.
Hey everybody, welcome to HR Latte. This is Leanne. We are streaming live from Public House at SHRM 15. Thanks for joining us. We're going to get started right away. Just hang around. There are a lot of conversations happening. The slam will be beginning shortly. Thanks for tuning in.
Nothing, I need a space.
Oh.
We have space.
Here's what we decided. You will, your goal would be there will be five of us or six of us.
You are listening to the judge's table as the rules are being set out.
And then we will put the two to a popular vote at the end to decide.
What is our criteria?
Whatever we'd like it to be.
Awesome.
Great.
You're going to have a sacrificial poet at the beginning that you'll get to calibrate on. So after Rayanne does her, you'll be like, okay, I would have scored that a 5, 8, whatever you calibrate.
He told me I had to judge.
He's the judge. He's awesome. General. Okay, everybody. Can I have everybody's attention? Thank you. We have a cowbell. What better than that? Thank you so much for joining us tonight at hashtag SHRM Poetry. If you can tweet it out, please do. We are trying to raise, our goal is $7,500 for No Kid Hungry. When I last checked, we were just under $2,500. So we're hoping with this event, and along with an auction that we'll have, and everybody, if you keep following the hashtag, you'll see items that are going to be auctioned off. We've got a couple of signed pictures of hockey players that I don't know who they are. We've got some hockey jersey. We have I think it's a signed Bobby Hull Blackhawks jersey. So would love to have you guys bid on that. I think we've got some hand rolled Cuban cigars that will be auctioned off. Well, they're hand rolled in La Habra, California by a Cuban. Is that close enough? Close enough. We are live streaming on HR Latte, so it will be available to listen to later on demand, but it's live streaming out there. So anybody who's listening, thanks for joining us today. I can say we now, but Dwayne Lay actually launched this effort many years ago, along with the help of many cohorts, Josh, John, Jason, a bunch of different people have been a part of raising money for No Kid Hungry. One of the things that I wanted to point out is it's interesting to talk about No Kid Hungry when we also talk about childhood obesity, right? So one of the things that I wanted you to think about with No Kid Hungry is they're providing nutritious meals for these kids. They aren't just providing Twinkies and fruit snacks and all those wonderful things that we think of today that keep kids from being hungry. So if you can donate, if you have, please thank you so much for donating to No Kid Hungry. And I'm all tangled up now. Hold on. There we go. But thank you for joining us tonight at SHRM 15. I'm going to ask everybody to be quiet, really seriously. We're in a public place, and there's a lot of noise over there, and you can't. They will not be, people who are listening and recording, they will not be able to hear us. So really keep it down and listen to what's going on. As I kick off, I have a special guest that I've invited for tonight. You'll get to meet him in just a moment. But I want to tell you a couple of stories about two different Eddies. Has anybody, you've probably heard maybe some of you have heard the phrase Eddie would go. Has anybody heard of that phrase? Okay, so there is a gentleman, there was a gentleman named Eddie Aikau. He was a kid that was born in Maui. At 16, he quit high school, went to work on a pineapple farm, and with his earnings bought a surfboard. He became the very first lifeguard in Waimea Bay. I don't know if you know about Waimea Bay, but the waves get to be 25 to 45 feet tall. Eddie was known as the lifeguard that would go in and save anybody. By the time he was 22, and between 22 and 25, he became the best lifeguard on the Hawaiian Islands. He was awarded that over and over again. When he was 31, he decided to volunteer on an expedition that was basically retracing the journey from the Polynesian journey from the Hawaiian Islands to Tahiti. And they took off from, I believe it was from Maui, and tried to make it to Tahiti. They only got 12 miles out off the south shore of Molokai when their canoe developed a leak, and it soon capsized. And Eddie took his life jacket off, got on the rescue surfboard, and took off to go save these people that were stranded out in the ocean. Eddie was never seen again. So as a result, and a tribute to Eddie, there is a surf competition that goes whenever the surf is 25 feet or higher called the Eddie. And everybody says, no matter how big the surf, Eddie would go. Over 500 lives were saved by this man. The Coast Guard soon found the people that were stranded, but Eddie was never seen from or heard from again. He was only 31 years old. I want to tell you about a different Eddie. This is my friend Eddie Garcia, and Eddie contracted a necrotizing fasciitis. If you are unfamiliar with that, that is also known as flesh-eating disease. And Eddie had just simple flu-like symptoms, came home from school not feeling well. His principal and the people at school sent him home. And it wasn't very long when Eddie was being rushed to the hospital. And while he was being rushed to the hospital, he had renal failure. And the doctors decided to operate to remove as much of the necrotizing fasciitis that they could. He had a couple of surgeries to remove this. And unfortunately, he lost a lot of blood during those surgeries. And as a result of losing the blood, they isolated his circulation so it would only go to the vital organs in his body. As a result, Eddie had to have his hands and feet amputated. And he's here today to talk to us about why you should give back. It's a fascinating story, but my poem is about Eddie. So I want to kick it off with my poem. Here we go. I'm going to put the mic on so I can be heard, even though I've never had that problem before. All right, tell me when to go. Okay. While you were sleeping, the world melted and changed. While he was sleeping, she loved and she prayed. How do you tell someone without hands and feet that waiting is normal? Prepare for defeat. They stared at each other, these doctors, with heads shaking, they gawked. But Eddie just walked. He walked and he walked. He stood before them, triumphant and proud, shouting, "These are my legs," surprisingly loud. Tragedy or disease comes to each of us in alternate ways. Some lie on their backs, some cry out for days. I struggle for air when asthma seizes and tangles my chest. I'm shackled, I know, when gasping for breath. We lunge and we each fight in search of relief. The mind wants more, so the body is weak. My mind, the mind, has a mind of its own. The voice of the heart aches to be known. With a mind like the sea and a heart pure as gold, I'm here to tell you that this Eddie would go. It is with great honor I introduce
Hello, everyone. I was really excited to be here today. When Rihanna invited me to be here today,
the first thing she said, come on down, I have a poem I want to recite in your honor. And the first thing that I want to know is, what's for food? And would you believe, you know what she told me? Finger foods.
Well, I'm just kidding. Already, so.
Just and the jokes keep coming. But I did want to take the time just to share with you just a little story about my life before the loss of my hands and feet, because I want to say that what's happening here today, sometimes you're not able to see the impact of the money, the donations, the time, all the things that you see. But I just want to let you know that you are looking at what the impact that you guys are all making right here before your own very eyes. When I was a little kid growing up in Southern California, I benefited from lunch programs that they were giving at the park. Later on, I was also benefiting from the church donating to my mom and my younger brother Thanksgiving turkey and canned vegetables so that we'd have something to eat during the holidays. In addition, as a young kid, I also remember our family, if you're old enough to remember the old Montgomery wards, there was a big Montgomery wards in Southern California, and right next to those, I have some social service department where I remember standing in line with my little brother and my mom and a bunch of other families, and we were waiting to get powdered milk and cheese so that we'd have something to drink and something to eat. So for those of you that are wondering, where does this money go to? What does it do for others? I don't see it. I'm going to tell you, as a result of what you're doing here today, I benefited. I ended up growing up in a gang-infested area, and I didn't have a father only because he passed away when I was 9 years old, so we were left to fend for ourselves. But I ended up not becoming a statistic because of some of the programs that your donations and your time and energy give. I ended up graduating high school, graduating college, getting a master's degree, and becoming a school teacher. Then I ended up being an administrator of an at-risk school for kids that were that would get in trouble. And I see their struggles. Their food, what they ate, was always just what they had at school. And they were left to fend for themselves in the evening. But what happens during the summer months? I don't know. I know how I benefited. I used to go to the park and get myself a sandwich and my wonderful chocolate milk. And now today, I'm able to get finger foods. But I also want to leave you with this. The impact that you have goes a long way. And you may not see the results, but I'm living proof that what you're doing is not just floating around and just in the air, it actually is making a difference. So anything that you can do, whether it's through a donation, monetary donation, or whether you just give your time to your community, your churches, there are little eddies out there that need just one break. Because when I look back on it, sometimes I wonder, what if I didn't have that sack lunch and I ended up robbing the grocery store just so that I can have a meal? This Eddie that exists before you today probably would not be here. So I want to thank you for all you do and all that you're going to do to make our communities that much better. Thank you, everyone.
Huge thank you to Eddie and his lovely wife, Antoinette. He wouldn't be here without her, for sure. So thank you so much, both of you, for being here and making a difference in the many children's lives. Eddie, I know that you're still coaching and making a difference in children's lives. We appreciate you not giving up, ever. Never give up. So it's great. All right. So we're going to kick this off, judges.
Woo!
Are you ready? All right. You've got Angie, Angie, John, and Ashley that are judging tonight. And we're going to kick it off with first poet to go tonight will be Joe.
It's not, it's only for the video. No mic internally. It's not going to be that good anymore. I have to put these on. Thank you.
You're listening to the Poetry Slam.
Judges, are you ready?
Joe Gerstad is taking the podium.
Can I start whenever I'm ready? All right. So for those of you that can hear me, this is a poem called Truncate. And the word truncate means to shorten by cutting off a part. In my friend's wood shop, there are piles of sawdust. Neat, harmless piles of sawdust. Quiet, anonymous piles of sawdust. And sometimes I wonder, what was it a part of? What was it removed from? Discarded and disregarded, sometimes we chop off parts to fit more neatly in. We have fat sucked out, we hold breath in, we bite our tongues, we become title, we play role. This is what a fill-in-the-blank does, after all. Become the badge, become the paycheck, become the arrest record, a character in someone else's story, something defined somewhere else, someone defined by someone else. We get fitted, and we get small all over the place so that we might make sense for the world, for that we might be normal in the world. And normal is a trap. When you turn parts of yourself on to be this thing called normal, it gets hard to turn them back on. If you believe you do not have a voice, it becomes hard to speak. If you believe that you are without choice, it becomes hard to make choices. And that stuff does not just fade away. That stuff gets malignant. So this is how you fit in. This is how you get in, how you get along, how you squeeze in. Squeeze in, suck it in, fit in, get it together, get your act together, get your life together, act like a man, like a lady, like an adult, like a professional. Act right, fit in, get in. You might have to leave some things behind. You might have to leave some parts behind, but one size will fit all. Just suck it in, just hold it in, just be normal, just act normal. And then this happens. We sand off rough edges. We round off sharp corners to be that beautiful thing, that normal thing, that popular thing, that make sense thing, that fit in thing, that one size fits all thing, that right size thing. And in the pile of sawdust left behind is everything, is the only thing, is the one of a kind thing. But now we fit in, just like everyone else. But now that we fit in, just like everyone else, how will our people find us? How will I find you? Because I am greedy. I want the whole thing. I want the sharp corners and the rough edges. I want the slivers and the bruises that come with them, because I know that it's real and true. So give me the addicts and the junkies and the junk collectors. Give me the baristas and the tattooed loners. And most definitely, give me the tattooed junkie baristas. I want it all. I want the hackers and the heretics. I want to know the kids on the corner looking hard, feeling discarded. I want to know the fidgety dude with the spray paint in his bag. I want to know what's on his mind. I want it all. I want the whole thing.
Next up to the podium. is Heather Kinsey. And here she is, coming to you live from hashtag Poetry Slam.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe I have to follow Joe. Okay, so before I get started, I just wanted to say that something that Eddie said resonated with me. If you've ever followed my blog, you know that I've written probably 4 blogs for No Kid Hungry, and one of them was sort of a quasi No Kid Hungry blog, and it was about shame. And I specifically mentioned standing behind our neighborhood grocery store, my sister and I, as we waited for the handout cheese and the handout powdered milk, and that just stuck with me for so long. But anyway, I've been a beneficiary of food programs, of social service programs, and I was asked a couple years ago to participate in some bowling thing for No Kid Hungry, and I've been a follower ever since. So anyway, so I'm here today following Joe Gertzman. My God. Funny you say that, Dwayne. So Jason asked me if I would write a poem and recite a poem, and I told him I would, and a couple hours later I was on a date, and for those of you who know me, I am a one-date wonder. Not a lot of men want to date me twice. And so anyway, I was on this date, and this poem was inspired by a conversation on the date. And so you might have an idea of why I didn't get a second. Okay, but I've just thrown it out there. But anyway, so the poem is titled, So You Don't Believe in God. You ready?
Go.
Ready? All right. Okay. So, you don't believe in God. I can respect that. If you've ever heard a newborn cooing, I think you'd believe. If you've ever seen a fiddlehead fern unravel towards the sunlight, I think you'd believe. If you've ever felt the energizing power of a spring's waterfall, I think you'd believe. You don't believe in a great creator. I can respect that. Maybe you've not witnessed a glorious sunrise over an ocean you have yet to cross. Maybe you have not heard the great forest orchestra that accompanies a fantastic camping trip. Maybe you have yet to taste the sweet and stickiness of the perfect peach. You honor science over miracles. I can respect that. It's conceivable that the family spared in the storm that took out 100 structures was just lucky. For all we know, your children look at you with intense love because they're ignorant of anything else. There could very well be a mathematical formula explaining the comfort that blankets someone that is a recipient of a prayer chain. I understand you don't believe in God, and I can respect that. But I wonder if you've ever been comforted by the hug of a dear friend. I wonder if you've ever received goodwill from strangers. I wonder if you've ever been encouraged and given unconditional love. You think believers are faithful, but ignorant sheep. I can respect that. It is faith, however, that gets some of us through despair and through tragedy. It is faith that keeps some of us working hard to be kind, generous, and fantastic members of our community. It is faith that allows some of us to respect your opinions. You don't believe in God. I can respect that. Perhaps you're waiting for the big reveal. Perhaps you're waiting, we're in Vegas, for some awesome Penn and Teller magic. Perhaps you're waiting for something spectacular to happen right now. It's just me up here, and I'm sorry about that. But I'm up here asking you to consider those around you who you love, and I'm asking you to consider their remarkable presence in their ordinary ways. I'm asking you to place your hand over your heart and to feel the life that supports your purpose. I'm asking you to reflect upon all of these little things, because I believe that it's in these little things that God's presence is undeniably clear, and I hope you can respect that.
Jason!
Poor. Oh. And that came from a judge? That came, and is he even wearing a robe? SCOTUS, anyone?
That was pretty hardcore.
That was pretty hardcore. All right, here we go. Jason Lawrenson.
So this poem is titled Enough. As a parent, looking at Facebook can feel like 50 shades of being punched in the face. Oh, your 5-year-old just read War and Peace. That's amazing. Oh, and your 9-year-old just performed her first violin solo with the Boston Philharmonic. And then there's that kid who scores 12 goals at every soccer game, even though she's playing against kids 2 years older than she is. Not to mention that kid who started a lemonade stand, raised $1 billion in cured AIDS, or whatever. Man, I must suck as a parent. Am I doing enough? Have you been on YouTube lately? It's like a shovel of salt in the wounds. Everywhere you look, there are parents with their kids reviewing toys in annoyingly cheerful and ridiculous detail. I'm not kidding. There are also families creating movies together. And all the videos of families on epic and elaborate vacations. Oh, you've just taken your kid to Disney World for the 6th time. That's great. And it just goes on and on and on. Maybe I'm not doing enough. And it's not just online. It's the mom at dance class who speaks to her toddlers in multiple languages. Are you freaking kidding me? I'm sure she probably used sign language too. I just didn't see it. I just wanted my kid to talk in any language before he turned 4. And then there's those parents sending their kids to Montessori school, whatever that is, because that's what Google's CEO did when he was growing up. Of course. I let my kids go to public school. What kind of slacker parent am I? This is bad. I don't think I'm doing enough. And then, one day, my 4-year-old son comes home from daycare. In his backpack was a piece of paper. On it, a list of questions about me. They had just asked him about my age and my favorite stuff and had written down his answers. Turns out, I'm 80 and I love hot dogs. But near the bottom of the page was this question. What does your daddy say to you? And next to it were written 3 words. I love you. And suddenly, it became clear. I am doing enough.
Them fighting words.
Now, in fairness,
I was still waiting on my next drink, so I'm a little unprepared, but I will do my best. Are we ready? Are we going? All right. Who, what, when, where, and why? These are the five questions we are taught from a very young age to use to explore the world. And the one we love the most is why. It's what the five-year-olds all gravitate to 100 times a day. Why can't I have candy for dinner? Why do I have to go to bed? Why is the sky blue? But as grown-ups, we get away from why, and we learn to live with because. We don't understand enough about the world we live in, so we have to learn to embrace our inner five-year-old to get back to why. Like, why is there a mailbox outside of the post office? You are already there. Why can we not have a Wonder Woman movie? Right, we need strong female role models for our daughters and for our sons.
Yes. Woo!
And why is the sky blue? Although I could probably look that one up if I care. Why do we fall in love? Why do we fall in love with the person with whom we fall in love? And then why do we fall back out? And why do we fall in love again when we know exactly how much it's going to hurt? How dumb are we? And why do we hate? Why would you hate someone just because of who they are? Why would you hate someone just because of how they look? Why would you hate someone just because of the person they want to spend the rest of their lives with? Why can't we take care of each other? Why does it take a tragedy to get us to recognize what should be blindingly obvious? Why does it take 9 people to die in a church in South Carolina to deal with a symbol of racism and oppression flying over the courthouse? Why does it take 9 people in D.C. to make our gay and lesbian brothers and sisters whole people? Why can't we take care of each other better than that? Why are there people who live for nothing else than to kill your bliss? Why are there people who cannot be happy unless you are sad? Why are there people who cannot be right unless you are wrong? And why do we put up with these fucking soul-sucking lampreys instead of just cutting them out of our lives and moving on with people we really care about? So those are the big five, but there's a 6th question that's even more important, and that's how. How do I become a better person? How do I teach my boys to be men and help them heal the wounds of their own childhood? How do I make sure that I take care of the woman I love and be worthy of her every day? How do I forgive? How do I forget? How do I remember? How do I start? Do not know the answer to these questions, but I am damn sure going to be asking. Thank you.
Oh my, oh my. It is real in here tonight. Real. Who's next? Who's next? Who's next? Crystal Miller.
Because my notes weren't out with my poem on it. So I figure
God or whoever you believe in gives you balance. So before I was really warm and fuzzy, and now I'm going to be decidedly a little less so. This is a poem that I wrote literally last night, 30 minutes, thinking about my conference experience and the conference experience that I've heard from women over and over and over again. So everything that I say tonight has been said to me, it's been said to me, at conferences, but I know I'm not alone. Hello, my name is. Isn't this conference great? Hello, my name is. Let me tell you what I do. Hello, my name is. Man, it's loud in here. Hello, my name is. What is it you do again? Hello, my name is. Let's grab a drink and talk about it. Hello, my name is. Things are really hard at home. Hello, my name is. You know we're just together for the kids. Hello, my name is. Actually, why don't we go someplace a little quieter so we can talk about it, if you know what I mean. Hello, my name is. It's not like anyone has to know. Hello, my name is. My girlfriend said it was okay as long as the person I was with is prettier than she is. You count. Hello, my name is. I'm pretty sure you'd even enjoy it. Hello. My name is. Don't you know how important I am? Hello. My name is. What do you mean you're here to learn? Do you see how you're dressed? Hello. My name is. You know I can teach you things. I can help you be Who the fuck do you think you are? Well, damn. Just when I thought we could be friends. All right. Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you who I am. Hello. I'm the professional that you should respect because I actually do the work that you write and talk about, regardless of your shiny title. Oh, wait. Is that supposed to be a secret? Hello. I'm smart enough to know that having boobs and a skirt does not make me a party girl. Aren't you? Hello, in my world, TNA stands for talent acquisition. Does it mean something different for you? Hello, I'm the chick that's not going to sleep with you tonight, but that does not make me a bitch. Get serious. Hello, I'm the one that shouldn't have to choose between going to the after-hours conference activities and staying in to protect my reputation. By the way, have you noticed there are no party boys? Only party girls. Hello, I'm the peer that doesn't have to prove myself to you over and over again. Have you ever tried to prove yourself to me? Because if you did, I think I missed it. Hello, I'm the woman that earns the whole goddamn dollar, not just 78 cents.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, hello, I am your equal. Do you talk to men this way? Probably not. Hello, I'm one of the many, many women that signed up for a conference, not your drunken bullshit. So please stop, because no one wants to hear it. Thank you. Yeah.
Show. I wrote a song in honor of Michael Jackson in Las Vegas, and it's called HR Isn't Black or White. Now, when I practiced this with my wife and read it, it didn't sound too good, so unfortunately, I'm going to have to sing it.
Yeah!
If you'd help me, softly snap. It may feel hazy, you may even harangue. It may frustrate you and daze it is lame. Some people are satirical and some think they may even be right. But realize there's no baby cause HR isn't black or white. Now this message, not a popular one. People take sides, but you can't take one. Employees want consistency, and they expect you to be strong and forthright. It's time we came to terms that HR isn't black or white. Let me set things level, get rid of all of the fluff. Time for us to do business, quit acting like this is so tough.
don't pin this on another. We all have to compete. Quit making HR somebody. Act, and you'll see what I mean. The rap time. Reflection. Time to end the frustration. Let's end this and prove that it's human relations. Some changes must be unveiled. You have to see all sides without fail. See, HR occupies spaces, embraces, places. Where your heart leads from is the new basis. Don't even wonder. You can't practice HR ignoring each other. I hope you will agree with me. This is the way that we must apply. Now start your practice daily, and now HR is in black or white.
Going to be throwing my phone because I just paid $100. So apologies if I don't drop the mic. I wrote this while we were sitting here. It's called Text from My Phone with Side Notes. And they are literally texts that I received. The House stopped fast track, but they didn't kill the zombie trade bill. Call now and tell your senator vote no. Kevin, AFL-CIO. 30 minutes till the Fisher and Phillips reception at the Bellagio Hyde. RSVP required. Shit, I forgot about that one. 30 minutes till the LGBT happy hour at Aquanox in the Venetian, 7 p.m. until ? Could be fun. It was a great week last week. On the first day of Christmas, Mercedes gave to me an employee handbook that they did not guarantee. For those in Southwest Florida, please join us for a spirited protest at the grand reopening of the public store on Longboat Key. Volume issues in the global supply chain are threatening auto suppliers. You could be laid off. Bad news. No problem. Just double-checking to be sure I didn't miss anything. Planning on looking for some local resources tomorrow. Breaking news. Seriously. President Obama will this week release a long-awaited overtime rule aimed at raising wages for 5 million people in 2016, according to sources familiar with the plan. It will double the threshold limit, so check that, because it's real. Are you in the bar? Is Morrison with you? Sorry, overslept, too much celebration, be down about 9. Shit, we don't have a guest for drive-thru. Should we call Robin Schooling? I'm missing you this week. I'll be glad when you get home.
Yay!
And last but not least, hey, it's Sam from No Kid Hungry. Today's our summer action day. Take action to make sure no kid goes hungry this summer. Hashtag No Kid Hungry.
Woo! Hashtag No Kid Hungry. Okay, we have some late-breaking news as far as the judges. The judges will select the top two. The audience will vote from the top two, who the number one will be, and that person will be the poet laureate for Sherm Poetry for the rest of the year. For the rest of the year until we do this again.
Yeah.
Then they have to come back and defend their laureate. Right?
Yeah.
Their laurels, their shrouds. What do they wear? Their Sherm?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Bad.
Do we have anybody else interested in participating in the poetry slam? What? Come on up. We got a volunteer. This is Dana Woolsey. Dana is one of my best friends, and she's here from Broadbean Technology, who is one of our sponsors tonight. So.
Woo!
I'm so impressed.
up. Sure.
The life of a flip-flop. It sure.
Ow.
Did I really step in that? How do I do this? Oh my God, I need to go home.
That's it?
List and compare them next to each other and judge you silently. Not that that's going to happen.
Okay. I'm gonna slam right now. Maybe some of you have heard of it. Well, the judges are deciding. This is called the Jabberwocky. Anybody familiar? 'Twas Brillig and the Slithy Toves did gyre and gimble in the wave. All mimsy were the Borogroves and the Mome Raths outbrave. Beware the Jabberwock, my son, the jaws that bite, the claws that catch. Beware the Jub-Jub bird and shun the Permius Bandersnatch. He took his vorpal sword in hand, long time the maxim foe he sought, and rested he by the Tum-Tum tree, and stood a while in thought. And as in uffish thought he stood, the Jabberwock with eyes aflame came whippling through the tulgey wood, and burbled as he came. One, two, and through his vorpal blade went snicker-snack. He left it dead and ripped its head. He went galumphing back. And hast thou slain the Jabberwock? Oh, come to my arms, my beamish boy. Oh, frabjous day, halloo, callay. He chortled in his joy. Twas Brillig and the Slithy Toves did gyre and gimble in the wave. All mincy were the Borogroves and the Mome Raths outbrave.
Oh,
they're still debating. Come on. I did everything. I did every act I have. Come on.
All right. So, no, I'm not going to slam again.
No, you're not
going to
slam
it. Okay. Recording. All right. So I'll just talk a little bit. So, yeah, so this is the fourth year we've done this, and every year it gets a little weirder. It started off with a street hockey game that was played on grass in Atlanta in, like, 95 degrees.
70% humidity.
70% humidity. And then we played kickball in Chicago in 98-degree heat. Then we got smarter and went inside in Orlando and bowled at a Big Lebowski party in 100-degree heat. And now we're in Las Vegas in 110-degree heat because we don't fucking learn. So next year, if you'd like to start making reservations, next year we'll be meeting on the surface of the sun. So bring your asbestos shoes. So in all seriousness, thank you guys so much for coming out. It's been a lot of fun. We've got some auction items that are going to be going up over the course of the next week. Keep an eye on that. Seriously, every time you tweet, more people know about it. We raise more money. Every dollar is 10 kids fed. When we did Sherm Kickball, we were blessed to have great sponsors. We actually broke No Kid Hungry's fundraising model. They had to rebuild the whole thing because of us. We had over $11,000, and outside of like five, all of them were $50 or less, which tells you what an amazing impact we all had. And Jonathan Brewer, my main man who could not be here tonight, who was instrumental in getting that all put together, and captain of the losing team. I don't know if you're aware, the MVP of that game is one of our judges tonight. So, Johnny Nichols. Hey, did you run that 10K?
I'm judging right now.
Okay, fair enough. That counts. So
we have a poem.
All right, so he just put it in perspective for me that night, though. We raised $11,000. Said, just imagine there's 100,000 kids that are hungry that are lined up outside your door. And we managed to feed all of them, which gave me chills. It totally reminded me they're going to be back in 6 hours. All right? So that's why we do this every year, because it's a lot of fun, and it goes really good, guys, and something we can all kind of get behind. So we're going to bring up Brandy. You guys all know Brandy Norton? So Sherm was very generous in their donation of allowing us to name the Poet Laureate of Sherm with this event. So in exchange for that, or bribery, if you will, we're going to allow him to read a non-original piece that we all really dig. And we'll bring him up, and I won't even introduce him.
It's actually not the one that told
me. But it's not the one he told me it would be. It's apparently a surprise to everybody.
There you go.
So first of all, never mind the backstory of Brandy. I am, and Curtis Duffy this, I am White Curtis. I don't have any DJing skills, but as I was looking through Google for something apropos, I found something that was written in 1925, and it's called Ode to a Blogger. And some of you may wonder, I didn't realize there was bloggers back then. Well, neither did I. So I'm going to read this to you, and I think it represents, well, I don't know, you tell me. To write weekly, to write daily, to write shortly, to write for busy people catching trains in the morning or for tired people coming home in the evening. It's a heartbreaking task for men and women, I added that one, who know good writing from bad. Beauty and courage are dangerous spirits to bottle in a column and a half and thought. Like a brown paper parcel in a waistcoat pocket has a way of spoiling the symmetry of an article. It's a kind, tired, apathetic world for which they write. And the marvel is that they never cease to attempt, and at least to write well. Thank you for Sherm 15 bloggers.
Again for being here. I'm not sure if our judges are ready, but I want to thank Eddie Garcia again for joining us.
Hey!
If you want to know more about Eddie, please visit eddiegarcia.org and your Twitter handle is at @EddieGarciaMD.
Yes.
And remember, at @EddieGarciaMD. Please follow him. He speaks all over the country. He's been to Washington, D.C. at the Capitol meeting,
right?
Okay. All right. So he is open for speaking engagements as well. So, and it's wonderful. I've seen him speak at Cal State Fullerton. Excellent. And you saw him here tonight, so you know. Heart is sincere. Judges, are we ready? You have a representative that's going to. Who's the foreman?
The guy who's on the road. Here comes the judge.
You know I'm from Miami when I've got a pink book and a black robe on. Okay, so on behalf of my fellow judges, Angie Schaefer from St. Louis, Ashley Smith from Nationals, frat boy reference there, we decided since we were the judges that we were going to change the rules. Right? We're going to do a little legislating from the bench.
From the bench.
Hey now. So we've decided that they said we had to pick two, but we really like three. So we're going to put it on you all to decide from the three. The first person that we like a lot is Heather.
Yay!
This may or may not be a surprise, but Joe will
be
included. And then in a surprise twist, he made us all smile, Mr. Mike Vanderbort.
Okay, so now I can see the Vanna White thing. I don't know if I want to do the Vanna White thing. But let's have our finalists. Please approach the podium.
Yeah, do we text one?
Good job.
He's right there. He's got the phone.
Okay, here we go. All right.
I'm going
to
lose.
And the latecomer approaching to stand. So I'm not sure, what do we do?
Okay, I'll do that.
They did at the bar last night. Declare everybody a winner and
right.
buy us a shot.
Do everybody buy everybody a scotch?
Declare us all a winner and buy us all a shot. We're out.
You can make your own rules.
All right. So, by approval of your clapping.
By noise.
Noise, right? We'll know who the winner is. When Dwayne holds his hand over the poet, and remember, this person must serve for the entire year.
Oh, my God.
Are you all eligible?
Oh,
I'm
sorry,
yes.
Yeah.
We didn't know about, right?
Yeah.
I'm not really good at following through on things.
Because we couldn't raise enough money to cover the bill.
Right.
So had it not been for these guys like being super sweet to us, this wouldn't have happened at all. So say nice things about them.
There's still some food, and those macaroni things are like what this place is known for. So chow on those.
Right.
I think you can still order a couple more drinks. What time are we at?
Latte. This is Ray Anthorn coming to you live from Sherm 15. It has been an absolute pleasure to host hashtag Sherm Poetry, our first ever poetry slam to benefit No Kid Hungry. Please check out our website, our special donation site. You can go to join.nokidhungry.org/go-to shermpoetry.com/SHERMPoetry. Give what you can. We are hopeful to break our record of over $10,000. Thanks for tuning in and joining us on this special edition of HR Latte.